This is Lina Live. In fact, I'm welcoming you with Chopin, which I'm playing myself. And I'm your host, Lina Mirmond. And with a little side of sadness, I have to say that this is our last program of the year. And consulting with my producer, my son, Julian Lambert, we decided to have very informal, spontaneous conversation just about anything. And if any of you are wanted to contribute with your own thoughts, ideas, a little moves, and a little inspirational thought, please join us. Other than that, I think we're starting from nowhere. Julian, I am inviting you to this conversation just as I did invite myself. And I'd like you to welcome our listeners. And then I will announce a little program, because in this chaotic introduction, we still have a little touch of common sense. But before that, Julian is next to me, and he has a few thoughts to welcome you with.
Well, I think we always complain about how, or not complain, but we're constantly confronted with how quickly time disappears. And it seems almost like yesterday, in fact, when we had our last show of the year last year. And here we are just a few days before the year's end, and I have the same kind of feeling that the year has gone by way too quickly. And one thing is for sure, that the more extraordinary events we have in a year, the quicker time goes by. For example, we lost Mr. Mandela this year, and I think when we are in a mode of reflection, we tend to prolong the impression and our reaction to an event, and to such a degree that before we know it, a lot of time has gone by, and we really have little choice but to move forward. There's always a choice, and time certainly is going to go forward of regardless what we decide. But I am just totally amazed by how quickly this year has come to its conclusion, and the thought that comes to mind, not just now, but has really been on my mind for the last several weeks, is how when we maintain a focus in a particular direction of our work, of our thinking, but I would say primarily with our work, when we have a very deliberate and focused sense of what we want to achieve, and the process towards that goal is, I would say, more or less predictable. I would say more predictable than not, even though there are a lot of surprises in the process, but we still are capable of working in a way that where at the end result we are achieving the goal that we intended to attain earlier. So we have this very predictable way of working and thinking. That's one side, but that never stops incredible surprises from occurring. And so my thought has been just being extremely impressed by how we are able to fix our destiny on the one hand, but that does not prevent some extraordinary surprises from making themselves known, and in some way it affects the destiny that we have set for ourselves.
Well, I certainly will interrupt Julian's eloquent monologue, and I would say that it's too eloquent in a sense to the reality, because I didn't find that much comfort of predictability in this particular past year. I also frankly like to have a little bit more cushioning of predictability. We need to run away from complacency as fast as we can to cope with this extremely profoundly challenging world. And to contradict Julian even more, I would say that it is sometimes very sad events which takes and swallows time so quickly, because we just have to catch up. I do agree that we need to move forward. Sometimes it doesn't happen as movingly as we like, but we are succeeding. So with all this criticism, I would say, I like this show to have, as I said, just as provocative as it can be. And if at the end some of your opinions and some of you, my listeners, will hate me, I would say thank you for listening anyway, because it's a human thought, human reaction, hate. In fact, I like to talk a little bit about this, because I think we're developing some, if not new vocabulary, but certainly frequency of usage of certain words and certain descriptions, like culture of fear. And I do not want to talk much about that, because we still have a little program here for the show. But I like to make sure that we are comfortable to talk about things which are not comfortable. It's very challenging, and it's easier said than done. But I think one of the most important natural instincts is to communicate, indeed, our fears. It's the most natural thinking process, and fears has its own anatomy, has its own tremendous transparent power. It has its dark corners, but it is very, very human. In fact, animal world is sharing this with us. So to say that it is nothing wrong to have fear, it is so banal. It's way beyond complex than just to say this, but it's became our member of our emotions, our thoughts, and one of the most important connections which we need to have is not only talking about beautiful cashmere sweater we bought yesterday, or certain small talks, which can be very warming, very comfortable, but we need to start to think even more and crave more for true communication, including fear. Julian, your thoughts on that?
Well, I totally agree with you. I never said that that we live in an entirely predictable world. My point was, in fact, that with all of that we are able to predict, and we are able to predict some things, we have been hit by a lot of surprises. So there is always this balance between our prescribed path that's within our focus and towards the process of achieving our goals, and having some incredible surprises come our way. And when I say surprises, I don't mean necessarily obstacles, although often those surprises are
obstacles. You're trying to be very comfortable with your own thoughts, so I'm challenging you and being a bit intrusive. But I still like to come a little bit closer to the reality and shift towards some points where we can be and we experience some indeed instability. And I think on this note, I will again let you to finish your thought. After all, I was rude, but as you know, I trust you, and I hope that your judgment of me would not be too strong, at least at this very moment.
Well, I think that even when we disagree, although I don't see where we disagree here, frankly, but we have too many threads in common where even our points of disagreement complement each other.
You see why we are so happy living under the same roof still. I like to announce a little bit what I promised after this philosophical prelude overture to our last program. And again, I will interrupt myself. So let it be kaleidoscopic, let it be interrupted, but very spontaneous, sincere, and hopefully exciting. I like to start our program by saying that we certainly very much wanted to express our appreciation to BBS team. Those two brothers not only sound the same and working under truly the same spiritual roof, but they have something which they're sharing, which we as a host are very deeply appreciated, and that is human connection. Not only you can reach them when you call, which becomes more and more rare in our society, not only you can ask any kind of questions, they almost always will find immediate time, and if they can't, they will not send you far without the response, without any kind of feedback. You always will find their attention and certainly their support. So I wanted to thank them again for another year of wonderful production. They are gracefully overcoming some technical problems, which sometimes internet is inviting, and we hosts don't like. We try to disinvite it. We particularly thankful to them because they are so open-minded. And I personally found tremendous pleasure to discuss just the most diversified issues, subjects, hot and painful points of our times, how to shape, how to see, and how to visualize the best part of the programs. So I like to make sure that they know that we have this group thanks also from our company, the Mirmont Art Center. And we also wanted to make sure that they will continuously patient with all our idiosyncrasies, with all our turns, twists, and some unpredictable moments. And after that theme of thanks, I like to make sure that at least there will be some kind of content of this program. I like to talk about some people who indeed made tremendous impact in our lives. We're personally very grateful to some of them, and I'm not even talking yet about some of our guests. But I wanted to talk about one particularly great legend couple. In fact, I will let Julien to introduce them because Julien is collaborating with them. So to end up this puzzle and introduction to name this fantastic couple, I will shift again my speech to Julien, and he will be continuing on my thought.
Well, Lena is referring to the legendary figure skating pair Lyudmila and Oleg Protopopov, who were two-time Olympic gold medalists from the 1964-1968 Olympic Games, as well as four-time world champions. And they are also the longest skating couple on the ice in the entire history of the sport. The Protopopovs actually can also be said as having established the foundations of pairs figure skating, so that everything that we see in pairs skating today can either directly or indirectly be traced back to them. They are absolutely immortal with what they have given to the world, and particularly the extraordinary life story that they have is just really, it's inconceivable how two people who faced the kinds of adversity that they had could have achieved such absolutely beguiling achievements that we continue to appreciate and derive so much enlightenment today. The incredible thing is, although this is not something to sensationalize them with, they are well over their 70s, and they are still performing on the ice today. This is totally extraordinary. And I don't have my numbers exactly in my memory here, but what I can say, what I do remember, is that the four-time championships that they had won, the world championships, as far as I can remember, they won those titles after they were 50, as far as I can remember. So this was after they defected from the former Soviet Union. So they are, they are not just extraordinary skaters, but they are absolutely extraordinary human beings of epic making spirits that they have. And I have been very profoundly honored to have the chance to collaborate with them. And I would say that they are probably the single most extraordinary people that I know.
Julien, thank you. I felt that your description couldn't be closer to the beauty of their art. They brought ballet on the ice, and you so eloquently described this. I just will add, before we will listen to a piece of music, that it deserves a series of the programs, which perhaps we will make in the near future. A series of our programs, because of the long journey and complexity of their lives, they've been intertwined with the most political cruelty of dictatorial regime of former Soviet Union. They were creator of totally new journey in the West. They have conquered the most important technical obstacles of changing some ice configurations, adapting to new sport arenas, and they have a tremendous army of followings, of course. We will talk a little bit more about their recent accomplishments after. I think it's a good time now, Julian. Yes, Julian, agreeing with me. After we were listening to a very new composition, which Julian composed and dedicated to this couple, Ludmila and Oleg Protopopovs. And I would take some privilege, not only as a presumptuous mother, but as a musician who can tell that judging, by judging this music, you can visualize the eloquence, beauty, and expressiveness of this golden couple. Julian, I think we are ready to listen to your waltz, or maybe it has another name. It sounds like a waltz, but perhaps you can comment on this composition before we will hear it.
Yes, this is a waltz, and it's actually waltz romance. So that means that the song has a waltz rhythm, but it's a slower, more mellow waltz than the usual kind of waltz that we normally associate dancing with. This is a slower, gliding kind of waltz, and it's more of a waltz that I think feels more of an ice movement along the ice kind of momentum. And it has an old Russian romantic kind of flavor. So here is the waltz romance, which I wrote for Ludmila and Oleg Protopopov.
And just to make a very last, I think, important detail, Julian finished that, and that is his gesture towards Protopopov's for this holiday season. They already heard it, and they already loved it.
Thank you.
little difficult to hear myself speak after that. But I will, and I'd like to add a few technical, I think, interesting details regarding this couple. They not only created the whole style, as I said before, they did bring ballet into the ice. And listening to this waltz, I think we did mention their role in the world, perhaps maybe several years ago. And the reason I'm talking about this, because after their recent performances, which regularly takes place in Boston at Harvard University Arena, number of our mutual friends made a sensational comment. A couple of them said that they're getting better. And that is such a colossal statement because of the modern standard of figure skating. In fact, I would say that if I will be forgiven, I will go a little bit off figure skating. I would say the general standards of sport has changed. It is the more faster, bigger, and so much less concern for human. In fact, it goes not only for the sport, it's even went ruthlessly in the art. It conquered even some musical arena. I didn't use word standard without the pain. There should not be a standard for certain personal expression. There should be a standard for schooling, standard for a certain level of performance, but a standard for the limitations of human expression. It's almost a crime because it is certainly like a personal war against the most precious human quality is our human expressions, our human power, our bravery. It became so challenged, but not in a creative way, in a very cruel way, with the vulgarity of the competition, with the vulgarity of the fundamental unspoken but screaming rule, who you know and how much money you have, or even more painful, how much money you do not have. All these material values are dying when you are thinking, when you are visualizing, and when you're absolutely merging with the arts of Protopopov's skating and their devotion. They are totally open in their condemnation of modern figure skating. They said that in a polite way that rules are very strange. Being a lover of figure skating and knowing a few little things, I do not want to be boring, pedantic, and unnecessarily technical, but I would like to say that it's the most important, whether you have two or three quadruple jumps. It is not important at all whether this sport person will continue his or her career. It is not important how many hip replacement surgery being prematurely done. All of these are not important. What's important is tremendous technical pressure, endorsements, millions, and sometimes even billions of dollars are building on those technical parameters, totally pushing aside humanity. I see Julian is giving me a look. I hope he agrees at least with some of it.
Yeah, and in fact, I want to point out that the incredible irony here is that the overly commercialized direction that sports overall has taken to such a degree that figure skating, which, yes, it certainly is a sport, but it's more of an art than it is a sport. The huge irony here is that the Protopopovs are still on the ice. As I said, they are well beyond the age that we could ever hope or imagine any even a reasonably fit person to be on the ice, much less Lyudmila and Oleg Protopopov. They are still skating after over 50 years together, but the much younger athletes who have received an incredible amount of endorsements are not skating any longer. They have virtually been forgotten about. And that
their bank account is skating instead of them.
Well, yes, that's certainly the case. But even their bank accounts are not making their names really any more famous today. They and we certainly don't have to go into names, but we're really speaking of the gold and silver medalists of the last few Olympic Games in the figure skating categories. We are really not hearing of those figure skaters very much at all. While the Protopopovs have continued to perform every year for over 50 years, it's really quite extraordinary.
Thank you for this interjection. It's so true. And that actually helps me to go into some, I think, interesting technical details, since we know them and they are, I should say, they are and Julian sharing the same artistic level. It's very interesting to watch and to hear how they speaking about phrasing, which is so similar, whether it's on the ice or in music. It's a universal feeling for the phrase, compatibility, music, and movement, all of those golden connections. But I also wanted to comment on a few things. They are not only created a new style, which we mentioned numerous times, they actually created a certain elements which are now prevailing in all form of pair skating, yes, but also some even elements took place in a single performances. For example, it's called three death spirals. It's a life spiral, it's a love spiral, and it is cosmic spiral. And the cosmic spiral was dedicated to Alexei Leonov, the first cosmonaut who made a spacewalk. So they are quite aware of some universal events. They are extremely inspirational to others, but they get inspired also by various outstanding events in the world. They just presented a series of master classes for every possible age. They've been so incredibly welcomed in Lake Placid place, I should say, that At first, I would think it was a little bit inferior. It was a little bit nervousness. It was a bit of a distance between general skaters and this grandeur appearance of Protopopovs. But once people learn that they are inseparable with their humanity and ice, they became extremely devoted to them. And in fact, many learn the most important increment parts of a figure skating. There was number of the, I should say, there were a number of publicity describing how much enjoyment they took and they brought to others of all ages. I could not believe that young and more mature skaters in the same group at the same time simultaneously being so connected to Protopopovs. I like to conclude speaking about them and say that probably one of the most important message which they created in the world, that if you do something consistently with love, devotion, and with honesty, you are building your grounds for eternity. Julian, I'd like you to either again agree or disagree, but your ending of Protopopovs will be better than mine, please.
No, I think it's what you said is not a question, is not up for discussion. That's exactly correct, as you said. I think it's beautifully put, and absolutely, it's a lesson to. It's also a lesson for all of us in the art of absolute selfless activity, selfless devotion to a single craft. Or to a single passion, whatever that may be. And they are absolutely champions of that. It's hard to judge, hard to say where they are greater champions, whether with the incredible amount of gold medals they won or really being such champions of life, being where they are now. So we are tremendously, not only tremendously grateful to know them and to love them, but the world is better because the Protopopovs continue to create. So we are thrilled that we can acknowledge them and speak of them in this concluding show of this year. And we're looking forward to many, many more, much more coming from the Protopopovs. And as Lena said, we will be mentioning them and talking about them and listening to some of the music associated with their skating in the shows to come.
And now we will shift to where I wanted to go to the extreme, and don't give me a very conservative and I would say puzzling look if I will start to talk about politics and religion. Oh, Julian is smiling. I'm glad he takes me with some humor. However, I like to talk indeed about this from my own point of view, not particularly, perhaps, in respected and popular way, but perhaps in a very individual way. I will take a privilege and share with my listeners some of my thoughts. However, before we will have still better part, and I think we're ready for another piece of music written by Julian Lampert. I don't know what that is, but Julian is conducting to me that it is going to be something off.
I think we're just going to have a little blues interlude before Lena and I launch into our next topic.
Wonderful appetizer for politics and religion. I wish it would not stop. I really need to be very brave to follow through with promised subject, but you will help me. You will take me back to the reality if I will go in a deep end. After all, you know, I'm an extremist. Let's talk about good things about religion. Wow, I found them. I tell you what pleased me deeply. I feel that religiously, whether you're atheist or you're a religious person, even though there is a huge challenge still to understand, to be tolerant, and to have deeper respect for one another, but I think there was a tremendous progress and human unification with that. As an observer, I can see that Jews and Catholics are merging in celebration. There is not much anymore this fanaticism of only Hanukkah or only Christmas. Even among most well internationally known people with their beliefs, with their tremendous devotion to their religion, there is a certain more than just a sign of acceptance, curiosity, and even passion. It could not be more pleasing to see how many Jews indeed intertwined with the Christmas celebration. Needless to say, that confusion of Eastern European Jews who are celebrating their Christmas and New Year's with a Christmas tree, or it's called Hanukkah bush, but just celebrative tree. That is my term. I hope I will be forgiven for that. And that, I believe, is tremendous smile for the humanity, considering just so much bitterly difficult and painful experiences which we managed to go through for the past year. Julian, did I make any kind of sense?
Yes, absolutely. And the pivotal figure in what you described is, of course, the Catholic, the Pope, who probably to most people's almost shock turned out to be an extraordinary ambassador of the human spirit, and he has very, very clearly shown that he is, as much as he certainly is representing the Catholic faith, but he is also speaking for all people across, as they say, across the aisle, and really not since John Paul, the late Pope John Paul, have we had a figure emerge in the recent past quite like him. I would even dare to say that there is something of a kind of wave, a vibe, if you will, of this kind of unification of very different faiths, different traditions, or if maybe for many people the word unification might be too strong of a word and maybe not even the right word. So we can say, as I just said, this idea of being an ambassador to all people. This is something also that President Barack Obama is very much about. And I'm right now not focusing on his politics, which many of us disagree with. Many of us who support him disagree with many of his points. But aside from the politics, what is completely undeniable is how far he has reached across so many traditions, so many faiths in this world. So I think there's a kind of logical progression from that to having this incredible figure whom we have with the current head of the Catholic faith. And it's certainly very, very encouraging. We need many, many more leaders like them. Like them in the sense of feeling passionate about maybe just one or two faiths or peoples, but placing that passion in a worldly perspective. Because if that does not happen, then there's always going to be some event in the world. Usually it's a bad event, like terrorism, which reminds us, gives us a very, very sharp alert that we have to be more aware. And I hope that this direction of awareness of the good, awareness of the bad, is never going to leave us as a society. And I'm very inspired by the current Pope that we have.
No wonder I noticed that you've been smiling this morning, and then you really kept your smile for almost up to the program, and you're still smiling. As a younger generation, I am inspired, and I like to add something. Our program has a slogan or title or morale, I should say. It's a union of opposites. And it's not just being fancy, it's being sincere. And by that I mean that the ideal, invisible but sharply felt balance where material and spiritual needs to be restored, probably will be the most fantastic foundation and re-promise for the future. Right now we're searching, and I would say that in a sense, often, I think I wrote it in some place, people rejecting what they really need the most. So they're behaving a little bit like a children. And that is, in a sense, natural because world is indeed so challenging with so many corners. It's a new world, as well known, and we have to match technology with our human power. I think if we will have more of a cooperation and less a confrontation, if we will treat our ego as a power and we'll get this power from art, music, and something which does not speak to us in a regular terms, but something which gives us a gift as a tremendous source of energy and something which treats us always so well, so kindly, whether we like it or not. I think we will be still climbing and even enjoying life. Our time of the last program is dissipating. And in impressionistic arts, the shadow means so much. And I feel that I'm in that little shadow area where very few minutes have left, no more hours left, so much to say, so much to express. And I'm looking forward to do so in the new year with continuation of having fantastic guests. I didn't even have a moment to mention and to be thankful to some of our guests, particularly the one who found the time in their busiest schedule in the world. But I like still to mention at least few, but by mentioning it doesn't mean to discriminate or take away our gratitude to all. And I like to mention certainly Bob Burke, whose energy, wisdom, and tremendous communicative power gave us a gift with his books and his tremendous mentorship, if such a word exists. We are endlessly thankful to Mark Barondess, who shared with us his truth and power of thinking, so many valuable facts and directions in life. We're certainly thanking our army of dentists who promised to keep our teeth in a happier shape, and many more. And Julian is continuing. I will let him to finish the journey.
And of course, we have to thank Dr. Hooker, an extraordinary lady, psychologist, and a pioneer of civil rights, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame as the first African-American lady to serve in the Coast Guard. And as my mother said, too many guests to enumerate. And from the end, we are looking forward into a very exciting future. The best is always ahead, but there is no moment like the present. So we are only saying goodbye to this year, but we are not saying goodbye to you, to any of our listeners, because we love this dialogue with you.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for thinking. Be well, and with new energy, here is the music to wish us all well.
And before the music, please, we're just reminding you to find us on miremondarts.org. That's at the Miremond Center for Arts and Culture. This is Lena Miremond and Julian Lampert signing off, and we are looking forward to seeing all of you next Thursday in 2014. And here's a piece of music which I wrote especially to close out this year with and to greet 2014. All of the very best, and see you next year.